Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Dave DeForest reporting. More found alive in Nepal ruins. Four people have been rescued from underneath rubble days after an earthquake struck Nepal. One of the rescued is a 101-year-old man. Police on Sunday said the man was found about 80 kilometers northwest of the Nepalese capital Kathmandu. Rescue workers earlier reported three survivors pulled from the debris in a district northeast of Kathmandu. Officials say the death toll could climb higher than the current total of 7,000. Thousands of people are still missing. Survivors are urging the government and aid groups to move faster to get food, water, and other assistance to the many people living in the open after losing their homes. Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake has ended the citywide overnight curfew that began after racial rioting broke out in the city last week. The violence began following a funeral for Freddie Gray, a black resident who died last month while in police custody. Rawlings Blake said she did not want to have the curfew in place longer than necessary. The American Civil Liberties Union and business owners, especially restaurants, criticized the curfew. Shortly after the mayor's announcement, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan said some of the 4,000 soldiers and police brought in from other states have begun to leave the city. Hogan said the state of emergency in Baltimore will not be lifted until all the soldiers have left. After an afternoon of touring Nairobi National Park, Secretary of State John Kerry is preparing to turn his attention to counterterrorism and economic development issues. On Monday, Kerry meets with Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta. This is VOA News. Pakistan has urged Afghanistan's Taliban to cease its annual spring offensive and engage in peace talks with the Kabul government. Ayaz Ghul reports.
The meeting in the Gulf state is happening amid a rise in Taliban attacks in Afghanistan as part of the insurgents' annual so-called spring offensive. Afghan officials say days of deadly clashes between government forces and the Taliban have displaced thousands of civilians in the northern Kunduz province. Representatives of the Taliban-led warring factions, government peace negotiators and Afghan peace activists are among the delegates attending the two-day open discussions in Qatar's capital, Doha. Neighboring Pakistan is also reportedly represented in the meeting, but officials in Islamabad refuse to confirm it, though they say they are anxiously awaiting the outcome of the talks. Ayaz Gulf, Islamabad.
49 suspects, including 19 Afghan police officers, have gone on trial in Kabul on charges linked to the mob beating death of a 27-year-old woman last month. The televised proceedings opened Saturday with prosecutors arguing that the victim, Farkunda, was beaten to death and burned March 19th in an attack sparked by a Muslim cleric's false claim that she had desecrated a copy of the Quran. Most of the police are charged with neglecting their duty to prevent the attack, though some are suspected of direct participation in the killing. Nigeria's military has rescued nearly 700 people in the past week kidnapped by Boko Haram in the country's northeast. An official says close to 300 kidnapped victims, mostly children, were brought to a refugee camp in northeastern Nigeria on Saturday. This week could decide the fate of a bipartisan bill allowing the U.S. Congress to review and vote on any final nuclear agreement with Iran. Michael Bowman has more.
If enacted, the bill would freeze U.S. sanctions relief on Iran for 30 days while Congress reviews a final nuclear pact with Tehran. It has the strong backing of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
These sanctions are a big reason why America was able to even bring Iran to the table in the first place.
But some of the very Republicans he leads are putting McConnell in a tough position, doing everything in their power to force votes on amendments on side issues to the nuclear talks, like compelling Tehran to recognize Israel's right to exist. Michael Bowman, Washington.
U.S. Vice President Joe Biden conferred with Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi Saturday. He is reaffirming U.S. commitments to a democratic Iraq and U.S. help in defeating Islamic State terrorists in Iraq and Syria. In Washington, I'm Dave DeForest.
That's the latest world news from VOA.